Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is 5:33. My name is Mike Dyer. I never give my last name over the air. This is a, but I'm feeling very confident because you are here across from me. I welcome J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Bob.
Yes, I've been told that you never say your last name. People like that.
No reason. Listen, we didn't have any theme music today. Is it? Are we getting away from that now?
Oh, no. We played enough. We'll get back to it. But this is an important day, and I thought we'd get down to some serious matters.
Right, you said you had a very important announcement to make, so why don't we...
get right to it.
Dive right into it.
Well, as you know, I'm now head of the Secret Council of 10 as a result of the election on February 24th, and the results were read last week. What was the date? March 2nd, I think.
Yes.
I promised that I would be able to release more information, covered up, suppressed information, as a result of my control of the Committee of 10, the secret committee. And I think I'd like to start to release and talk about what I couldn't talk about before.
Oh, what's on the hidden agenda for today, Bob?
Well, it's interesting. If you watch for the signs in the world press, you get a clue to what's going to be happening. For example, last week it was announced that Chinese scientists are working with mummies and they're finding if they can activate the brain, and they are confident they can, that they'll be able to communicate with these mummies at some level of brain activity. Well, this situation is anticipatory of what I'm going to talk about today. When I was campaigning for the Secret Council of 10 over the last 8 months, I used some information that the Council of 10 members weren't aware of, basically formal analysis. But the content analysis I couldn't go into until I could release the exact record of it. So I'm going to emphasize not formal analysis for a while. This will be content analysis. And I'm going to give you the records of my statements made to the Council of 10 going back as early as 1973. And we're going to begin back in 73. When the topic of who are the brain police came up at the council. And we have here in the minutes what I said. Quote, Bob indicated it will be discovered that many of the mummies of ancient Egypt are not dead, but are more or less sleeping in a state of frozen consciousness, a suspended animation that can only be broken by time or by the decomposition of the body. Through transpersonative explorations, people will tune in, Bob indicated, will tune into the minds of certain mummies and discover that they were given a drug or poison that crystallized the cells of their bodies while in a trance-like state of suspended animation, and that they have been directing the courses of nations and civilizations by pre-programmed symbols released into the collective consciousness as their bodies decompose. Bob indicated they, like transmitters powered by antimatter energy, send out concepts to be picked up by receptive people who feel suddenly struck by a brilliant idea, quote, out of the blue. That should be out of the pink. Anyways, Bob indicated, these then become inventions or ideas that spread into the civilized world. It will be discovered that our civilized world is being, quote, dreamed by the mummies, that they are what may be called the soul or unconscious mind of humanity. Bob indicated that present consciousness cannot conceive of this. But by the year 2000, this will be well established and taught in schools. As you can see, I was quite confident that I would be in power by 1990, and the educational system will be revolutionized over the next 10 years, and by the year 2000, this will be an actual possibility and fact. Now, continuing from the minute...
You reek of confidence. I mean, it's...
Well, it's coming out of me now because slack is for me and probably for you and everybody else now. But especially for subgeniuses.
So I didn't mean to interject.
That's all right. But continuing with the minutes here, what Bob continued to indicate at this meeting back in 1973 of the Secret Council 10, he was a member, I was a member of the council at that point. Bob indicated that eventually it will be taught in schools that the ancient Egyptians have controlled the course of history down through the ages by use of symbols, religious concepts, and ritual programming in order to speed up the evolution of man. And now, what's interesting here is Bob goes into the explanation of the content of visual space and the frame that was put around acoustic space by the, well, I won't go into why or what, but the content effect of it was. Bob indicated that this was done by intensifying the polarity of the concepts of good and evil in order to create more pleasurable and painful experiences so that the endocrine system of the human body would grow and develop greater capacities in response to the friction of everyday life. or of everyday visual space. It will be realized, Bob indicated, that evil, error, and pain creates the friction that brings about the development of the ego, self-centeredness, and individuality, much the way a grain of sand irritates the flesh of an oyster to create the pearl. And Bob indicated it will be realized that until the ego is built, until one has reached the epitome of selfishness, sin, and suffering, he is incapable of having a worthwhile ego death. And such an ego death prematurely would result in a loss of individuality. Therefore, during the rule of Bob, selfishness and error will be understood, and though not condemned by society, will be rewarded with the friction opportunities, problems, and blockages necessary to propel the selfishness to that point of frustration whereby the selfishness, the ego, becomes so total and fixed and yet so blocked and frustrated, it can do nothing but surrender to the will of the people, society, and world, or the universal forces of Bob around it. Bob then went on to explain that the carbon dating system used by science today will be found to be accurate only up to 10,000 BC, when radioactivity from Atlantis began to disrupt the radiation balance. It will be discovered that the first great pyramid was levitated into place about 10,000 BC, not 4,000 or 5,000 BC, as was believed, and that the base for the second pyramid was left as a challenge to the future generations. Bob indicated the purpose of this being to create an organization of a hierarchy nature to meet the challenge and to set a pattern for future hierarchy organizations so that the entire world would eventually be patterned after the hierarchy system. The pyramid itself was like a symbolic seed planted in consciousness in order to bring civilization into a collective system. Bob indicated that having reached the apex of power collection, the hierarchy system programmed from Egypt will begin crumbling, and a new system of government will arise, based on communication with Bob rather than positions of power of, for, and of by Bob. The symbol will be of the future situation of this new government will be that of a sphere rather than the pyramid, for the sphere will have every point equal in rank to every other point. So you have there 1973 Bob, the minutes of the meeting indicating what would happen, new symbols, and how the content of visual space was the framework for evolution over the last 10,000 years. Now, I have a second statement, but I welcome any interjection just for a second.
Well, actually, it's a minor point, Bob, but Ian and I were just commenting on how your voice sounded distant. I don't know how to describe it. You sounded like I was listening to someone else's voice, as if, you sounded a lot like Beater.
Well, Walter Winchell.
Yeah, you had that sort of voice of America sound to your voice.
Well, that's the effect of Bob, which is a collective mantra, being electrified, because I'm representing corporate knowledge. Lots of the holy offices are merging in through me, and so I think they permeate through my voice, and I don't have the same voice off the air.
Yeah, of course. And you're speaking in third person. I'm intrigued by that as well.
Yes, well, I'm reading just as documented material what Bob said, which was me, but I'd rather say Bob, since Bob resonates so much more than the word I.
Yeah.
But time's running out, so I want to continue this statement in particular, because after making this statement that I made back in 73, some of the members questioned. I mean, it was they knew some of this, but it had never been put together so clearly. And so their immediate concern was being part of the beast, the pink prison. They want to know, what does this have ramifications for the Illuminati, the pink prison, over the last 2,000 years? So they asked me, how does this relate to the Illuminati and to us, the pinks, the pink prison guards? And I indicated, some 2,000 years ago, an entity by the name of Jesus, a subgenius, moved into the temple and drove out the money changers. I indicated this entity understood full well what he was doing and did create an action in consciousness which has been likened unto the planting of a seed which now bears fruit for all entities to glimpse and to harvest and to gradually begin to understand. Bob indicated this entity, Jesus the Christ, was crucified for this very action and none other. Bob went on to indicate that the money changers, by whatever name, their force of darkness and pinkness, which had controlled the economies of nations, these money and this collective and singular noun, this money manipulation force, which moved from Atlantis through Egypt, Jerusalem, Israel, Babylonia, Greece, Rome, the European nations, the United States, and Russia, and now has moved into the Orient. By the way, this is 1973. This force, this is what Bob's saying then, this force of economic control, which did create the wars in Europe between France, Spain, England, Germany, Russia, all of these in their time, This force which created colonialism, which manipulated the rise and fall of power in nations, this force which caused the assassination of John and Robert Kennedy, was behind the assassination of Martin Luther King, behind the suffering and death of thousands of entities, of millions of entities, this force which was behind the creation of the Nazi movement and the Axis powers, this force, Bob indicated, which created both sides of the war, which forced the nations of both sides to become enraged and fanatic in such a manner that war was the only outlet for their expression. This force was behind the Vietnam War and now operates behind all these other smaller wars in various countries. This force, and this was shocking for Bob to say this in right to their face. Remember, the names I'm going to name now were sitting across the table from me, a round table. This force, which set up the communist revolution in Russia, all financed and manipulated by the international banking system operated through the Rothschilds, through the Rockefellers, who themselves were set up by the Rothschilds, and they nodded in agreement with me, for a base in the United States. These forces, these pinks who passed their information from one generation to another, who trained their following into the levels of deception, fraud, and the use of power against the masses of humanity. Bob then indicated these forces are now engaged in the ultimate goal which entities throughout history have hoped to experience, wherein an entity glimpses the possibility of becoming king of the world and sets out to conquer the world. And boy, did they nod when I said that. Bob then indicated in the past the opportunities for this were never so great as they are now. He indicated that these few hidden entities, the number being 13, at that time it was 13, now 10, these 13 entities having influence over the rest of the world, through their followers, through their families, through their interrelationship with other families and marriage and in economic ties, these entities are now moving frantically to bring about a world government. Solar government was later. This to begin by creating a crisis which was intended to collapse the government of the United States as has been known, was intended to destroy the Constitution and replace it with another, and was intended also to destroy the Bill of Rights. Bob then indicated these entities seeking more and more power were moving rapidly and almost unhindered in their movement toward world dictatorship. Bob indicated that the likelihood of world dictatorship by 1984, which will be 11 years after this statement, if energies continued exactly as they are, is approximately 90% probability. Bob indicated that the resistance to this action does not carry the proper energy or momentum to change the course and at best could only delay the action. Bob then suggested, therefore, that you take a lesson from the Oriental martial arts and rather than attempt to resist the movement of world government, that you enthusiastically move toward world government, but that you take this energy and hurl it further than the bankers even anticipated, further than the pinks anticipated, and move with Bob, that you begin pushing rapidly for world government based on concepts similar to those of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights guaranteed within that Constitution, along with two other rights, the right of freedom of morality, so long as that morality does not harm another, and freedom of economic well-being, this as freedom of economic livelihood, whereby food, shelter, clothing is provided regardless of what they do to earn such, that anything more may be added according to their inclination and ambition to seek such, that anything, repeating this last line, which is important, that anything more may be added according to their inclination and ambition to seek such and work for such. That was Bob, 1973. I think we should go to the tape, Mike.
Your spaceship is waiting.
Yes, things are on the horizon.
I'm just lost for words after that spiel.
It's new knowledge.
I guess other people, perhaps mere mortals, would be patting their brows at this point or sipping water. You have come out of this with a great deal of poise and character.
Thank you, Mike.
You're very strong. Just one question, very briefly. I know you are on a tight schedule, but... You made a comment at the beginning that Jesus Christ was a subgenius.
Oh, yes.
Have we talked about this already, or am I...
Yes, remember when I talked about him smoking Winston cigarettes?
That's right. So this came up around...
About 4 months ago.
No, it was a festive occasion. Was it not Christmas we were talking about this?
Yeah, maybe you're right, yes.
So Jesus Christ was a subgenius. So if there are already doubters out there, surely the fact that the Son of the Lord himself is on our side is a good sign.
Yes.
Bob, thanks. We'll come back and wrap things up.
We'll be back. I'll be back, and we'll wrap it up, and maybe there'll be some questions from the audience. I'm sorry to be so linearly discursive today, but...
You don't do it very often. As long as you keep it down to once every 2 or 3 months, I think we'll be okay.
I had to clear the air, and there'll be some more minutes coming in the future, exciting new information.
10-4, Bob.
Praise Bob.
The Autonomous Commie Republic...
brings to a close this week's installment of the Church of the Subgenius. My name is Mike. Coming up to 6 o'clock, we've had some sort of interruption here. Bob was very, very quickly, after we last spoke, escorted away out of the studio by a group of men and has gone, and I'm not really sure what's happening. Hopefully he'll call in and check. Steve, you haven't seen Bob, have you? Steve's here, and Bob's not here, so I'm not sure what to do. I've got about 7 minutes left. I can possibly ad-lib, I suppose. I'm not sure what to do. Maybe the phone will be ringing any second. I guess I could play some more music. Don't know what to do. Hold on. There's the phone now. Just a sec.
Well, you didn't recognize those people, strangers, but they actually were Axis in human form, and trouble back at the home. Connie's in big crisis going on. I'm not sure, but I'm in my car, and
where can you recognize where you are? Anything that sticks out along the way?
I think we're near Bloor and Bathurst. I think we're moving up in that area, though. We're going so fast, and it's hard to take it. It's quite an emergency. Of course, the exits support my activities now, and whenever any problems come up, slack will be regained easily because I've got them working with me.
But you're in safe hands then. We have no need to really concern. We were quite alarmed when they came in and took you away. I didn't know what to do. Of course, I had to stay here.
No problem. Yeah, that's these kind of things, they may happen more frequently now that I'm in control of the Secret Council of Ten. This kind of activity, emergencies will arise because there's still pinks around causing little problems, and it seems they've got Connie surrounded the back of the house, and while we were playing Staying Safe, I picked it up, and then all of a sudden the exits came in, picked me up, and we're on the... Now, the reason, now normally, since I'm using a celluloid phone, you can't pick that up on the transmitter, C. Kellen, right?
Right, yeah.
But this is proof that my technology can transcend that through the laser vices I've got, that this can be done. And this is why probably you sound a little distorted yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is quite unusual. I can hear my own voice. It sounds like it's been squelched, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the laser envelope necessary to carry this signal over the air.
I guess I don't want to probe, but is there anything we can talk about this week regarding this crisis? Or should we talk about it next week?
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I was just whisked off with a sense of emergency, and I'll deal with it when I get to Connie's place.
I think we'll be back next week.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
So, relax. Mike, I'll give you a minute. I'll get off the air. You say whatever you want to say. I mean, without me there, let's see if you can be a Bob, or let's see what you can say. We'll be listening on the car radio here.
Okay.
You try to assume that mantle of authority that happens from 5:30 to 6 on CKLN.
Sure, I'll have to draw my voice down to your level, but I'll give it a good shot, Bob.
Get seductive, and let's see if do a Bob and end off the show as if I'm still there.
Well, I'll try my best. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, certainly, Mike.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Good luck, Bob.
Praise Bob.
There you have it, the voice of Bob everywhere, no matter where he might be, and I hope everything is okay with Bob. He should be back, as you heard, next week. I don't know, you know, this whole thing with the Church of the Subgenius has been going on now since, I guess, June, and Bob has now been elected onto the Secret Council of Ten. You know, we certainly do encourage your input. If you have any ideas about the Church or the direction the show might take, I do encourage you to write into the station or to call in. And we do tend to take calls over the air, although it's not really encouraged. Bob is on a new high now. He is in the Council of Ten. He is exploring and releasing new materials, and we just heard a hint of that today. So there's really very little I can say without Bob. He is a crutch for us all in these hard, difficult times. And so I think rather than ramble on and not say anything in particular, I'll just sign off until next week. This is Mike. Stay tuned for Denise and then for Tom coming up at 6 o'clock. And we'll be back next Wednesday at 3 o'clock.